Blog Talk Radio.
Outstanding. Thank you, British Lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Today is 6/29/22. We hope everybody out there is doing better than good and just surviving with all the monkey business going on in the world right now. Nevertheless, appreciate you joining us this evening. I am your host, Dave Atwell, coming to you from a rainy Jacksonville, North Carolina. Hopefully the rain will hold out. We won't have a repeat of last week's show when the thunder scared the bee Jesus on me on the air, nearly soiled my britches for everybody to hear. Nevertheless, let me pass it around to my most esteemed panel. We'll start off up there in Indianapolis in the outlying areas where the alpacas roam. My good brother, Tim, what is up?
I like it. The alpaca thing is sticking. I like it. Definitely the alpaca roaming here. Well, so far we're dry. You're talking about missing opportunities with rain. We kind of need some around here. Personally, I could use the water down. But anyway, other than that, I'm on the porch. It's great. Glad to be here as usual. Moved on from one project to the next around the house. And just business as usual. But ready for a good show tonight.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what. Looking forward to the input. And, it looks like the weather's going to stay good for us this evening, tonight. Looks like things are breaking up. So, definitely good to have you aboard. Thanks for joining us. Now I'm going to kick it down here to my neck of the woods. Down the road from me, several miles, but not too far away. My good brother, Stro, talk to me.
Mr. Alvey, so great to be here on the show. You mentioned alpacas earlier. I thought back to that movie Napoleon Dynamite, where they were feeding steaks alpacas.
God, Tina, eat the ham, you stupid llama.
Yeah.
Gee, you fat lard, come get some dinner.
God, Kip, you sit around and eat all flippin' chips. Good start. Epic movie, man. Can't have enough of that.
Nice.
Yeah, dude, it's good to have you. Hey, before we get too deep into the weeds here, man, let me ask you, how was Heroes Con?
Oh, it was great. I had a great time. They just brought me in for that Friday because they kind of want to showcase different actors of the film, like, throughout the weekend. But, I mean, the Friday I was there, yeah, I had such a blast. It was a great time. I'd forgotten how big of a con it actually is. It's like one of the
right.
biggest cons in the state. And, I mean, it was ginormous. It was really a lot to take in, but it was a good time. I saw Ron Ross, out there, Ron Ross, his wife, and got to see Greg Bo, one of the artists there. I'm looking for Greg Bo and Batgirl, Katie there. She's wonderful. And so many artists, writers, I mean, and like upper and lower level at the convention center. I mean, it's huge. They had like Starbucks, Bojangles, and all that stuff right inside the place, right?
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. But, it was a good time. And I heard the Saturday and Sunday shows and stuff as well, too. So I was happy to be a part of it.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed that I couldn't get out there to it. It just... time-wise, money-wise, everything-wise, I got this big commercial contract that's fixing to kick in next week with me. So,
nice.
Yeah, so, you know, I had to kind of get some stuff out of the way and have all that stuff shored up before it happened. And I just, the more I looked at it, the more I said, you know what, I'm better off just foregoing it and putting all the eggs into the fall basket, if you will, with all the shows we got coming up. Because we're going to have a busy 4 or 5 month span there with just the ones that Dr. John and the Millers are handling. So I went ahead and backed off. But, yeah, Heroes Con is huge. That is a it's certainly not in its infancy as it was before, man. That thing is rocking now. So, but, yeah, glad to hear you had a good time. Everything went well. Good to hear you made it back safely because you know how it is when you're traveling. You know, you always got to look over your shoulder.
On the way back Friday night, one of my friends sent me a text. They were like, already have riots at the road freeway thing. There was like a small riot there outside of Charlotte.
Son of a jays.
Is the con you're talking about, is that the Grand Strand coming up in November?
Yeah, that's the one, the weekend after Thanksgiving, Black Friday weekend.
Yeah.
26, 27, I think. And that's back at the Myrtle Beach Convention Center where we're at for XCon. So if the Millers do what they did for XCon, that one ought to rock. I'm a little, concerned about the date with it being Black Friday weekend. I don't know what that'll do to affect it, but not everybody's going to be shopping. You know, so
yeah, that's true.
Hopefully it'll be worth it. And if for no other reason, it's an excuse to go to Myrtle Beach. I'm always looking for an excuse to do that. So.
Absolutely.
There's something about that place that just, it's like a happy place. I'm sure if you live there, it's not so happy. But
we just have to find the little guy with the wood horse. Like, Happy Gilmore dream.
Yeah, man. All you got to do is send the ball home. Just take the ball home.
Yeah, find the happy place.
Boom. Yeah, the price is wrong, bitch. Tonight, our topic is one of my favorite things. Bad guys, villains, good, bad, in between. Good villains, bad villains. The villains that, if you're like me, got you cheering for the bad guys in the movies. And then there's some villains that just didn't hit the mark. I'm sure we'll rib them quite a bit this evening too. So regardless, get things kicked off. Do you, either one of you gentlemen, want to lead off for us this evening?
Yeah, whoever wants to.
Feel like it's class when first? They have. Yeah, go ahead, Tim. You got it. You spoke up.
I couldn't tell. Couldn't tell what Rob said. I had a little bit of noise in the background, so I didn't know if he was doing. All right. I'm going to start off with one that, and I kind of wanted to tie into this later or somehow, but if you notice, I kind of like the whole theme where they have movies where it's a villain that has always been portrayed as a villain. But yet there's always a movie that comes out that's just basically based on them, and it shows their side of the story. So it's like, you know, they actually aren't necessarily a villain, just wrong place, wrong time, or something like that. And I can think of a handful of movies that are like that. But the one that I liked was, and of course the actress they had playing her, but Catwoman. Recently, and probably not the most recently, was done by Halle Berry. And let me tell you, there's a lot of people that say that movie was terrible. I am not one of them. I saw that in the theater, and I definitely enjoyed it. I don't care if a lot of it was CGI. I still enjoyed it.
It's all
was
about
that the one
cat.
With Sharon Stone. She was the antagonist. Catwoman. Sharon Stone. She played the villain. Halle Berry.
Wait, are you saying she was in that movie? Sharon Stone was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I think that you're right. Yeah. Obviously, I wasn't really paying attention to anybody else except the Catwoman. But,
Oh, yeah. I can't say I blame you there.
At least you have your priorities in line. You know what I mean?
Yes, that I did, yes.
I would be totally disappointed if you were to speak on a Halle Berry movie and talk about the great directing. You know what I mean? It's God, it was a wonderful soundtrack. Was it not, gentlemen? No, we weren't there for the music. Thanks for asking. Yes. I think that one just kind of wrong place, wrong time, to be honest with you. Because it's not that bad of a flick. It's just, I think it was too close to the Christian Bale Batman flicks. And at the time, everybody was comparing everything to Heath Ledger's Joker. And it just didn't jive.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that, you know, Halle Berry, she was just coming off of, like, Monsters Ball and a couple other flicks like that where she was hitting on all cylinders and then, you know, did a Catwoman flick where the writing wasn't quite there and everything. And
right.
So just, you know, wrong timing. But, yeah, I'm with you. Did I think it was something that was Oscar-worthy? No, but did I think it was something that, you know, was abysmal? I wouldn't give it that, you know.
My eyes on the screen, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like when, speaking of movies that people have bashed that I thought was good, you remember the movie Savages? It was about two brothers that ran drugs.
Man, I'm not sure if I do.
Yeah, I think
Guillermo del Toro was in it, Blake Lively was in it, but the one who played the bad guy, the one in charge of the cartel, was Selma Hayek. And, dude.
Yeah.
Now, granted, anything with Selma Hayek in it is Oscar-worthy in my, even The Eternals, as bad as that movie was, the saving grace was Selma Hayek.
Wait a minute. So was she the one? I might be getting my my girls mixed up here, but was she the one that was in From Dusk Till Dawn? Did the little dance for George Clooney's character?
Yeah.
Yes.
That
was a life changing thing. Yes. My God. But she played a hell of a good bad guy in that movie, and she wasn't even really a bad guy. She was just the chick in charge of the cartel. And, she was so just kind of like smooth when it came down to it. But, yeah, that's another movie that a lot of people beat the hell out of, and I always liked it. So it was a good flick. And you get the bonus of having Selma Hayek in it, you know? So, Stroh, what have you got floating around there?
So many.
Yeah, it does kind of flood your brain. That's a pretty big topic. It's kind of like I was stalling because I got a little. I was like, damn. There's like, which one do I choose?
Yeah, where do I start? Oh,
Vincent Price, Chris Lee, Bill, Darth Vader, Jaws. God, so many. Trouble on my head, right? So, big. Yes. One great villain. I have to go with Remember Die Hard and Han?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Man, I thought he was great. He was fantastic.
Yes. That was, God, not Jeremy Irons. Oh, God, he just passed here recently.
Yeah.
What was his name? Oh, God, I'm losing so much creds right now by not remembering his name. Oh, shit.
But he played a great villain. Quickly down on his boots.
Because he played the Prince John in the Kevin Costner Robin Hood flick.
Yeah.
God, what was his name? Oh, shit. That hurts
that
I can't remember. Yeah, he was good. Right to the very end, he was good. And he was not your typical bad guy either in that movie. You know what I mean? He wasn't some great big hulking guy. He wasn't like some 007 gimmicky kind of thing. He was just a dude in a suit that had a chip on his shoulder, you know? And, yeah, that was definitely a good one. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I'm watching the movies, I got the worst habit for cheering for the bad guy. I just do it all the time. The bad guys are always more interesting to me because they're more dynamic to me for some reason, you know? And if there's something that's kind of picked up in film here recently is bad guys are misunderstood. And I'm like, no, no, no. There are some bad guys out there that aren't misunderstood. They're just bad guys. They're assholes from birth. Quit trying to legitimize the villain and justify his evil. The whole idea behind him being a bad guy is that he is unjustifiably evil, you know? So, me and my dad, you know, we've talked about my dad here on the show a bunch of times, how, you know, me and him, up until I was about 25, didn't see eye to eye in anything. And if you get the two of us together in a room for more than 10 minutes without us going to one another's throat, you've done something. So my dad had come home from overseas, and Platoon was coming out. And I think I was 16 when Platoon come out. So Dad says, let's go see that Vietnam flick. I says, all right, let's go see it, you know. And my mom's like, okay. You also got to debrief us. Okay, now the two of you guys, I want you to get along. It's a two-hour movie. So we go to the movies, and we didn't know what to expect going in there. We just knew basically who was in it, you know, Willem Dafoe, Charlie Sheen, all those guys was in it. Little did we know that everybody was in that movie. I mean, Tony Todd, Johnny Depp. I mean, everybody was in that movie. But nevertheless, you got a theater full of Marines, right? And Tom Berenger played Sergeant Barnes, okay? Now, whatever you do, don't think less of me because I was cheering for Sergeant Barnes. But Sergeant Barnes was a remarkable bad guy. Why was he a bad guy? Because he was a bad guy. He was a dick. And there was no gray in that guy. He was an asshole through and through. And Berenger just crushed it in that movie. So the bad news is that you got my dad, who cheers for the bad guys like I do, and the two of us in this whole damn theater, when Willem Dafoe gets shot, you could hear everybody in the theater going, oh. And then you hear me and my dad in the back going, all right, now I hear you. Because Dafoe was the guy that was kind of like the anti-Berenger in that movie. And man, William Dafoe was great in that flick too, but Tom Berenger just, I mean, up to the very last minute of that movie, he was just spot on. Now, I'm not going to say that the things that he did in that movie were kind and acceptable. No, not at all. But if you look at the definition of a villain, that was him. You know, there was no underlying reason for him being acting the way he did outside of the fact that he was just a hateful human being. So, yeah, Tom Berenger's Sergeant Barnes has always been one of my favorite bad guys in the movies. Easy.
Well, I can give you, it just came to my mind. I can give you what I think is probably my overall favorite villain of all time. And I don't know if you really call him a villain. Definitely a bad guy. But you can, I mean, and what he does is pretty twisted. But he's so freaking smart. And that's my favorite kind of bad guy, the real smart ones that just come up with some truly evil shit, but it's like a really thought-out plan, you know what I mean? And they have, like, a reason for it, you know? Like, it's obviously it's not a good reason for it, but, you know, it's a movie, so they got a reason for it, you know? And again, like you find yourself in some cases, which when you find out who this one is, you're going to think, wow, dude, that's kind of twisted. But in a sense, you kind of cheer for him, which is... you know, so this guy makes traps. So who am I talking about? Jigsaw from Saw movies. That dude is a beast, man. And he has all these engineered, I don't know if you guys got into Saw movies. They ended up making a ton of them. Some of them are better than others. I think I like the first few. They did get a little carried away with part of the plot, but, you know, I still enjoyed watching them. I tried not to get too deep into the plot and just kind of, you know, watch for the stuff they were going to do to mutilate people. But I'm trying to think of his actual name, but it was Jigsaw, basically. And, you know, I like I said, I don't know if you guys ever saw that, but he is probably my all-time favorite bad guy.
Oh, Saw, I mean, those movies were pretty flawless, especially the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, because the whole time you're watching that flick, you don't know where in the hell it's going. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
yeah,
it's getting towards the end, and you're kind of figuring out that, okay, it's coming to a close, obviously. You look at your watch, and you see that the movie's been on for an hour and a half, and you're going, okay, so, yeah, this has got to be the climax right here. And you're like, man, this ain't much of a climax. Tell me this is going to be one of these horror flicks that kind of just drops you like that. Next thing you know, he's the damn dead body's prying itself off the floor, and you're like, "What the shit did I just see?"
Yeah. The second one, and they're total they're mind deaf. I guess I won't say the word. You know, we are on a family podcast here, but they are complete mind. We'll say mind scrambles. Okay, they're complete mind scrambles. Like the plot twists and everything are just kind of like, oh my God, you know? So it's usually a pretty cool, makes you think a little bit, toward the end. And like I said, some of them get a little far-fetched. I think it was 3 or 4 and it was kind of like, that's a bit of a stretch, but okay. And, you know, but, it seemed to pull me back in. There were some pretty cool things in those movies. So again, my favorite bad guy.
Yeah. Saw is tough, man. And Tobin Bell, that's another one of those good casting calls, man, where he just owned it. And he was pretty much unknown prior to that, which I think kind of helped out, too.
I after watching reruns of Seinfeld, he's on there.
Right. Yeah, he's one of those guys that, you know, was on stuff, but he wasn't name-worthy, so to speak. You know what I mean? Where everybody recognized him.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then, you know, as the storyline went on, how he was kind of like warping, God, what's her name? Oh, God, here I go with the names again. But it was the actress is Shoshone Lowenstein, I think is her name. Yeah, I can't remember the damn character's name, though. And that was the girl that he was teaching. That was one of her, one of his victims that had escaped. And he was pretty much training her. Yeah. That was wicked stuff, dude.
Huh.
Yeah. I've always thought Jack Nicholson always. Double and it, which is the Eastbrook
Shining
in the Batman. Shining, right?
Yeah, dude.
He's a natural. He's such a natural villain.
Hey, what is the whole ending supposed to mean? And I haven't seen the most recent Shining, but I've always been, like, I've drawn my own conclusion, but while we're on this topic, and I don't think it's going to be too far of a tangent here, but if you'll recall, the ending of the first Shining with Jack Nicholson, he ends up dying. You know, he's out there, I think he freezes to death. But then
right.
he goes back to, I think it's the dining or like a ballroom or something of the hotel, and it shows an old picture from, like, I don't know, however many years beforehand, like it's a historic picture, you know, not historic, but it's an old picture of like staff, and he's in there. So I never really understood what that is supposed to mean. Is it like he keeps reliving, like he just keeps reliving the same life, or what's the deal there?
I think what that is meant to say is that everybody in that picture has somehow or another fallen to the madness that came with the spirits in that hotel. And they're kind of damned to eternity of being connected to that hotel now. So,
okay.
You know, it's kind of like,
and
it's kind of like the victim's ball, so to speak. And people over the years have lost their shit, died, and now become part of that ball. That's what I got out of it, at least ways. I don't know. It's a Stanley Kubrick movie, so, I mean, there's no telling what in the hell that
is. Yeah.
Because Stanley Kubrick, man, good Lord, some of his stuff is, like, out there.
Well, Stephen King wrote the book, right?
Right. Yeah, because all
and
the
I
mean,
put my cards up there. I've never read the book. I really should. I've never read the book.
Well, you know that Shelley Duvall was never the same after that movie, because Stanley Kubrick pulled a Hitchcock on her. He screwed with her so bad that she actually needed psychiatric help after the filming of the movie, because I mean, he was making her do takes like 120 times.
I thought I heard hearing some background stories about the filming of that movie, and maybe it was related to that. I'm not sure now, but I feel like I remember kind of hearing or reading or watching something about that, behind the scenes, if you will, of that movie.
I mean, that's crazy, man. Now, granted, he got the desired effect, because by the time that movie was done wrapped, you know, what you're seeing on screen, her kind of slowly descending into madness because of Jack Nicholson, it's pretty much what was happening with her and Stanley Kubrick. So, I mean, it's cruel, but it's filmmaking genius. The bad news is totally ruined her life, because she ended up, you know, becoming antidepressant and all that kind of stuff, the pills and all that jazz. But, Yeah, Jack Nicholson, he's one of those guys that can just he's very versatile when it comes down to, he plays himself in every movie, but it's amazing how he can kind of sway. You know what I mean? Where, you know, like at the beginning of the Shining, I've often said the creepiest part of The Shining is at the very beginning when he's interviewing for the job. And the guy's doing an interview says, well, you know, the problem is a lot of people up here can't really adapt to the isolation. And Jack Nicholson leans forward and he goes, maybe a little isolation is what me and the family need right now. And you're like, shit. I mean, and that was before he went apeshit. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you look at like...
I'll say one thing I love to do at work is, and obviously, you know, we can do this because of copy and paste in Microsoft Word now, but every once in a while, and I need to just save a copy off, but I like to just type out, you know, and I'll do a copy and paste, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I'll send it off to somebody in an email or print it out and leave it on somebody's desk. It's always up for a good one.
Yeah, because he was, he's good stuff, man. Nicholson's badass. Even yeah. when he's playing a bad guy sometimes, he's a good example of a bad guy that's easy to endear yourself to. Just, you know, kind of like when he played the bad guy in The Departed. You know, when he was playing that mob boss and he met those Asian guys in the in that warehouse and he hits that, tell Jackie Chan over there that I'm not here to compare dicks.
Yeah.
What a great line.
I liked him in A Few Good
yeah.
Men, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And again, he played himself in that. You know what I mean?
Right.
He just did it. He just did it in uniform. You know? Yeah, that was excellent, man. Now, I'm going to throw a couple bad guys out there. They're in the same movie. And, again, I'm sure my mom wouldn't be proud of me to say that I really like these guys. But, nevertheless, Hannibal Lecter and my man, Buffalo Bill. I'm sorry.
There you go.
Yeah,
I was thinking it.
You guys have heard me. I know Silence of the Lambs is not supposed to be a comedy. I get it. I'm sorry. But in my twisted mind, I can't help but laugh my ass off the whole time I'm watching that movie. And, you know, Buffalo Bill.
How many times do you hear somebody say they pushed the lotion on its skin? I mean, come on. So now you're going to laugh your ass off when you see it again, you know?
It happens every day at work. Every
right.
day, somehow or another, it comes up. And matter of fact, today there was this thing hanging up on the damn wall that says something about dress code. I guess a couple nitwits at work didn't come into work dress code. And there's this thing up there. Don't forget, you know, tuck in your shirt, do all the basics, right? So I read it. And one of the managers is standing behind me while I'm reading it, right? And I turn, I look at her, and when I get done reading it, and I says, or else it gets the hose again. And she just fell out, right? You know, so of course I got to hit the, that's right, Precious, it gets the hose. I don't know how that gentleman was able to do that. I would be laughing the whole time. They'd fire me because I'd never be able to get the lines out because I'd be too busy being like Beavis and Butthead the whole time I'm trying to read my lines. I'm like, it gets the hose again. I mean, the shit's funny. Now, granted, Hannibal Lecter and the Buffalo Bill are not people you want to, you know, not good role models, certainly not. But, man, you don't talk about funny. Oh, God. And then when she got a hold of his dog, it was like all games off. Don't you hurt my dog, you bitch. I was like, yeah. That's what a man's dog. If you watch John Wick, you know that. But, yeah, and damn, Anthony Hopkins. I mean, what a turn that guy took. Because Anthony Hopkins, prior to playing Hannibal Lecter, was always playing the suit. He was playing professors. He was playing, you know what I mean? He was playing, you know, teachers and leaders and generals and shit like that, you know. And then he plays Hannibal Lecter, and it's like, damn, that is so smooth.
He was,
you know.
Wouldn't he have something else, though? Maybe I'm just thinking of another Hannibal Lecter movie, but I thought he was, what's the one where somebody, and maybe again, it's one of the Hannibal Lecter movies, but what's the one where he's on, like, a bench, and somebody comes up like they're going to try to steal something from him, like a watch, and he ends up stabbing the kid or whatever, but you can't, like, tell. And the kid kind of turns, and he's like, I got the watch, and then he, like, falls, you know, basically falls dead because he stabs him. And I can't remember. I don't know if that's Hannibal Lecter's or if that is a different movie. I was thinking Anthony Hopkins played a villain in a different type of movie.
I can't remember because I know in, was it Red Dragon, I think? That was when he hung the guy by his own entrails at the Vatican. That took a pretty, because wasn't it Red Dragon where he's actually trying to kill the Archbishop or something like that? God, it's been a while since I've seen those flicks. So, again, I'm losing points here. I'm losing street creds. I'm trying to think which movie that was. But, yeah, Anthony Hopkins, man. I mean, he turned it around when he did that, man. It was, and it was another one of those cases where it was so out of character for him to do that. I think that added to the brilliance of it, that nobody expected that type of behavior out of Anthony Hopkins, and they got it. So, yeah, that was awesome shit. Stro, you got something wandering around in your head over there, young man?
Another element. Okay. Just had a moment. That's great. He was a lot of films too. Train to Villain. Six of them. Film I had to buy. Oh yeah, Max von Sydow. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he played a lot of bad guys.
Right. Ming the Merciless.
Played
Flash Gordon.
Yep, Ming the Merciless.
He was the villain.
He also
in Strange McKenzie Brothers.
Yeah, man, he played the Brewmaster.
Yeah.
Take off, eh? Somebody worked their clothes, eh? Strange Brew.
Rush Hour 3, he was the villain there.
Oh, that's right. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was the priest in The Exorcist. And he was damn good in that. He was damn good in that, man. Whew. Yeah. I watched that probably about a month ago, as a matter of fact. I can't remember where it was at. I can't remember if it was Netflix or one of those $8 a month streaming vessels in I saw it was on. I said, you know what? I ain't seen Exorcist in a while. Let me watch this. I was like, damn. Of course, if you've ever met, here I go giving the names, man. Senior moment, man. I need some echinacea or some bullshit because my mind is just, I've had a rough week, but for some reason the names are just not with me. The young lady who played the kid. Jesus. It's totally left my mind. Nevertheless, that's about a perfect casting because if you ever get a chance to meet her in person, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll find out pretty quick. Yeah. She's one of a kind. I'll leave it at that. Just kind of, yeah. Like, okie dokie.
Do you remember the villain, the Princess Diana?
Which one now? I'm sorry.
Who played the lead alien in the TV series? Wait, her name was Princess Diana. The beat talks about the alien lizard people invading Earth. TV series.
Was that V?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're talking Mandy Pintankin or whatever his name is. I think.
Oh yeah,
the guy that was on CSI.
Yeah, she was an amazing villain in that series. Oh man, Diana.
Not V, man. I forgot about that. I haven't watched that shit. Jesus.
Yeah, Robert Englund was in it because he's one of the aliens that he told the swerve and ended up helping humans.
Yep, Robert Englund, of course, played one of our favorite bad guys, old Ferretti.
Oh,
Ferretti was a pretty good bad guy.
Had the guy in it that played the Beastmaster, too, Mark Singer.
Now,
not a good actor.
Yeah. Speaking on actors who kind of spoke out of turn and did something they weren't used to doing and really killed it as a bad guy, Denzel Washington in Training Day.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I mean, he was such a dirtbag in that movie, but you couldn't help but walk away going, damn.
Oh, he was very good.
I mean, up to the end where he's like, it's like that.
Did you say Training Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen the end of it.
Oh, you've never seen the whole thing?
Nope. It was on TV or something. And I caught the tail end of it, and my dumb butt watched the end of it.
The chemistry. Oh,
God. I own all y'all's asses. I'm the police. King Kong ain't got shit on me. It's like, wow, what an epic line, man. That was awesome. Yeah, he was sick. Matter of fact, a very close friend of mine, his mom, to the day she passed, God rest her soul, she would not watch Training Day, and she would always say, "That's not my Denzel."
Uh-huh.
She would not watch it. But God, he was nasty in that one, man.
Yeah.
Won him an Oscar too, didn't he? Didn't he get an Oscar for that?
That I don't know. I want to throw out one, but I'm going to name an actor, and he played several different villains, and he's got a certain style. Usually there's some kind of a comedic approach, and he, I believe, ad-libs a lot, but Jim Carrey. I think he does a pretty awesome job at the different villains he's done, because he usually takes the character, and my thought is they usually just kind of let him take the reins, and they say, here's the concept, you know, this is what we kind of want it to be, now have at it, you know, do what you want. If you think about it, he's done The Grinch, he's done, he's got the character in Sonic, but he's done, if you think about it, he was the Riddler in, it Batman Forever? And I thought that was pretty good. Maybe it was the age I was when it came out, I don't know, but I thought that he did a spot-on job with that.
Right.
I suppose you could consider him a bad guy in Fun with Dick and Jane, but, I mean, I don't think you're really supposed to think of him as the quote-unquote bad guy. But he's got a handful of movies where he's, you know, done some kind of bad guy, whatever. Hell, even The Mask, I think you could probably kind of consider him a bad guy there. I mean, maybe that's a stretch, too. I don't know. But anyway, so more of an actor, I guess I'm bringing up, because I think he does a pretty good job at the different roles he's given.
Yeah.
Whatever the other personality was that Me, Myself, and Irene, when he went dad, had the little girl that was jumping rope. He's jumping rope next to the fountain. You really shouldn't do that. You might slip and hurt yourself. Next thing you know, he's got the little girl's head in the fountain. Why don't you jump rope next to the
lady with breastfeeding in the grocery stores or something to that effect.
You know, you mentioned the Riddler, you know, with Jim Carrey. Another guy that from time to time would make a good villain would be Tommy Lee Jones. Remember, he played Two-Face, Harvey Dent.
Yeah. Tommy
Lee
Jones, one of these guys, he's good in just about anything. You know what I mean?
Remember, he was the villain in the movie Blown Away with Jeff Bridges?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever saw that.
And he was also the villain in Under Siege with Steven Seagal when they took over the battleship.
That's right. And he was great in Coal Miner's Daughter. That was kind of his first breaking kind of get out there role, where he played Doolittle Lynn. And it cracked me up when Loretta catches him with another girl in the car, right? And then a little further in the movie, they're on the tour bus, and Loretta says, I got a new song I want you to hear, and it's called You're Not Woman Enough to Take My Man. And she sings a song for him, and Tommy Lee Jones goes, now, where in the hell did you get an idea for a song like that from? Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, Tommy Lee
also
Jones.
The bad guy. He was the bad guy in one of the Jason Bourne movies. Was it Bourne Supremacy?
Might have been.
You know, I haven't seen any of those ones. I know that sounds
really
nuts. Yeah, haven't seen any of those. Oddly enough, it's funny how, and maybe we should do a show on that one evening, big-time franchises that we've never seen. Harry Potter's another one. I couldn't tell you. Never read the books.
Same.
Never watched movies, never played the games. I haven't the damn foggiest.
There's a lot of them, I could tell you. You guys would probably either start making fun of me or worry about me or something. If you knew the amount of movies, and, I mean, we're talking like huge movies and trilogies and things that I've not seen, it'd probably scare you.
Maybe I'll do that next week, maybe. In the event that we can't come up with anything else, hit on that. movie and TV franchises that we've never locked eyes on at all that everybody else has?
You know,
there's
a lot out there. Here's one guy that I don't really think gets talked about, but he plays a great villain in some films. It's Brian Dennehy. If you recall,
oh, yeah.
He was the villain sheriff that was against Rambo in First Blood.
But you know what's so interesting about the dynamic in that movie is that he mm-hmm. was the good guy.
Right.
Even though the vibe of the movie has him as the bad guy in a real life aesthetic, he was the good guy. You know what I mean? He was,
yeah.
John Rambo was breaking the law, and he was the sheriff trying to do his job to get him. He was a fugitive. Now, he wasn't the kindest mm-hmm. guy in the world, but Brian Dennehy was actually the good guy, but was twin, and that's what made First Blood so good, is it made the bad guy the good guy in that, you know?
Yeah.
And that was back before Rambo left the rails and started dodging napalm and all the other nifty stuff.
Yeah.
That was
the last movie.
That was another flick that my dad and I went to go see the movies. We went to go see Rambo 2, and it was tough watching that with my dad because the whole time he's going, "You can't do that shit. You can't do that. There's no way, goddamn, somebody can do that." It's like, "Dad, it's a work of fiction, man. Stay cool. It's going to be all right." Like when he dives from that napalm into that pond, Dad says, "That's the worst goddamn thing to do near napalm. Hell, the water start boiling. It's a fuel air bomb, for Christ's sake. Who in the fuck would drop in the water?" And I'm like, Dad. Okay, it's just a movie, man. Stay cool about it. Yeah, but Jesus Christ, you've got to have better sense than that. I mean, Jesus. Hell, even I know better than that, for Christ's sake. And I'm like, okay, Pop, it's going to be good. Better relax. Enjoy the movie. Eat your popcorn.
It's like when I watch people pick a lock with, like, a steak knife or something. It's like, come the hell on. You can't do it like that.
No, if you've ever had a janky doorknob in your house, you ain't going to take now. I can tell you with a paper clip, I am pretty adept at getting in there with a paper clip. But, yeah, all this stuff with people using these little.
Yeah,
I don't know how the hell
they do it. I'll clarify. I'm talking the movies where you see somebody who looks like they pull out this little kit made just for breaking and entering, which I do know they may have actually looked it up. But the funny thing is they'll pull out like one needle and they'll put it in the little slot where a key, for the keyhole. And it's like, I'll admit. I mean, I've looked up. I kind of know the basics. I'm not good at it, but I know the basics of how picking a lock or how a key lock mechanism works, okay? So I know you got to have the torque. You got to have some device to push the pins up. And when I see them and they've got, like, one fill in there, I'm like, give me a damn break. But, yes, you're right. There is, like, hell, my kid's door. I can use a credit card and I can get in there because there's a big enough gap.
Yeah.
And I just little thing open, you know. So, yes, you know, in those cases, yeah, you can use crap like that.
Funny parenting story, just a side tangent for a moment. Speaking of doorknobs, when my daughter was going through her little Bin Laden stage when she was a teenager, she went into her room, slammed the door, locked the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my wife's out there going, you know, "Unlock the door. Unlock the door. Wait, wait, wait. Unlock the door. Unlock the door. Open up this door. Unlock this. Don't. I just calmly walk off, reach in my toolbox, and I come back, and I'm like, "Here, move." I have my cordless drill. Drop two screws on the doorknob. I was in that door in about 12 seconds flat, and I was like, "Okay, now that we have the door open, let's talk." So in the event you ever have a youngin' lock themselves in their room, just go grab your cordless drill. That is the ultimate passkey to every damn house door. That, yeah. There was that time when she wouldn't turn her music down, and I turn it down, then it goes down. About 5 minutes later, it's back up again, rattling the frames on the wall and shit. And turn the music down, goes down, comes back up. I finally get bent out of shape. I walk over to the fuse box. Back.
I've never done that before. It is a good tactic. Because not only do they stop, but also they're get out of them. Because everything goes out.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to worry about any noise coming out of that room after I killed the breaker to it. So, yeah, another one of those genius dad moves that I did on the fly over the years. Pretty genius stuff, man, if I don't say so myself. But that was when I got to play the bad guy, even though I was a good guy, being cast as the bad guy, of course, because I was the one that wouldn't let you break the rules and let you be a little heathen. I wanted to have a certain structure and standard in my household, which made me the villain. Tough luck.
Well, it's tough to be right in a house where the teenagers are always right, you know? That's just kind of every
very
teenager
true.
Is, they're all right, you know?
Yeah, that's why it was so easy with Rob, because Rob just like, right on. Don't chew my ass, right on. He doesn't even, I guess he saw all the stuff that his sister went through. It was like, I'm not even going to fight this fight. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth the blood. There you go. Right on, Pop. 10-4. Oh, man. But getting back to villains. Now, I know Stroh mentioned Darth Vader earlier. Now, when it comes down to villains, man, Darth Vader certainly has got to be one of the top.
Oh, yeah.
I mean... unfortunately, in the prequels, again, they kind of angled it to make it look like Darth Vader was a sympathetic evil. And for me, it kind of was like, shucks, you know. And that's why it was so hard, that's what she said, at the Revenge of the Sith. Where he turned and everybody's going, well, wow, that was quick. And I'm like, yeah, but it shouldn't have been quick. You know, this should have been one of those things that we always felt was going to happen because he had a chip on his shoulder or he was just a bad seed, because that's how I looked at it. Wouldn't have been a little more fascinating had he had the highest midichlorian count of all the Jedi, but he was always a dick from the start. So he wasn't that kid who won the pod race and you're going, oh, what a cute kid. You know, if you see him as a kid, put him in the pod race, and let's say he cheated to win. And when he came back to Qui-Gon and Qui-Gon's going, well, you didn't do a very good job there. You know, you cheated to win. And he looks at Qui-Gon and goes, I won, didn't I? That would have been more Darth Vader-y for me. Instead of him being that nice kid that was like, yippee, you know? And that's what made Rogue One such a gem, because Vader had really lost his shine for quite some time there. And then Rogue One comes along, and this guy is just, I mean, in 2 minutes flat. I don't even think that whole scene was 2 minutes long. It was probably 30 seconds long for all I know. But when he's just going down that corridor and just slamming those rebel troopers all over the place, and they're shitting their pants trying to get that plan through the doors and everything, and Vader's just, damn, throwing these guys left and right. It's like, damn. Now that is Darth freaking Vader right there. You know what I mean?
That was amazing.
And just intimidating as shit, too. The whole armor thing and everything. I know when you go to these shows and you got people doing the cosplay and all that, you never get used to a guy dressed as Darth Vader. I've got a couple pictures where, you know, guys cosplaying Darth Vader have been holding my book. And I'm telling you, I don't give a damn It's kind of like Rob Cochran when he dresses up like damn Jason.
Yeah.
And for those of you guys out there that don't know Rob, he's, God, how tall is Rob Cochran, Rob? Hey, he's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
He's 6'4"?
Close to 6. Yeah, 6'4", 6'5". Yeah.
I mean, he is huge. And he'll give you the shirt off his back. You're not going to find a nicer guy. But, man, when he puts on the bib overalls and the flannel and the damn hockey mask, it's all over. I mean,
yeah.
It's legit. So it's the same way with Darth Vader. When you just see somebody in the damn the suit, the helmet, the cape, I don't care if it's your dad in there or your best friend, you're like, still, okay, dude. Stay right where you're at.
Yeah.
Don't pull the
well,
shit.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll talk about a villain that I didn't really care for a whole lot, and I'm glad that it kind of ties right into everything that we're, you know, it just flows right along, because talking about Darth Vader, this would be another basically Darth Vader character, and it's Anakin, and I don't even know what the guy's name is in real life. But the dude that plays Anakin as, you know, him kind of before his final transformation into Vader, I thought he was a terrible actor. You guys can, I don't know, maybe you thought it was good. Sorry. Throw a virtual tomato at me if you want. But I thought he was a terrible actor. I thought he did that role. I don't know. He's just kind of more like a whiny baby that wasn't even convincing as a whiny baby. And I think they could have had some, and it really rubbed me the wrong way when they went through and effing changed Return of the Jedi to have his face on there at the very end. It's like, why the hell did you have to do that? I mean, come on. What does that do for you? It kind of ruined it, actually. You know what I mean? It totally ruined that whole end scene for me. But I didn't care for him as Anakin at all.
You know what? That's why I couldn't really get the Kenobi series, bringing him back.
Oh, God.
McGregor, yeah. So, like,
yeah, I can go for a whole hour about that Kenobi series. It's a damn shame because, you know, it has so much potential. And now that now that it's been out and it's run its course, now the truth is starting to come out behind all the stuff. You know, we're finding out that the lead writer never watched Star Wars, and they had to bring a guy in. I can't remember if the guy's first name is Joby. But they had to bring in another guy at the end to help with the writing, because apparently the original script by that guy was so far to hell out there that they had to go back and redo it with the added writer.
Oh, yeah.
Because the head
didn't
writer
even follow continuity or anything.
Yeah. So my question is, how does this guy get a job writing for Star Wars for Lucasfilm, and he's never watched Star Wars, when I can't get a job at Taco Bell because I've never worked fast food? You know what I mean? It's like, God damn, how does this work, man? Kind of like how our president is right now. Okay, I'm not going to get started on that. I ain't going to do it. So, bad guys. Oh, I know the other one that I've been meaning to, and it's the obvious one. I hadn't even said it yet. The Joker.
Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah, Kathleen Kennedy. She's definitely one. She's a bad girl, though. How dare we? Well, no, wait a minute. I think she's non-binary. She's a bad they. Bad they. They, them, it. She's a bad it. But the Joker, man.
The Joker.
I can tell you, if you've ever, whether you're into gaming or not, I challenge you to go on YouTube and watch the playthrough on the Batman Arkham series. I think there's four games in all. But what happens is, at the very beginning, they execute the Joker. Okay? Somehow or another, and I can't remember how it went, so pardon me, but nevertheless, his blood gets mixed in with Bruce Wayne's. Somehow or another, Bruce Wayne gets stuck with a needle or something to that effect, and they inject the Joker's blood into him. And the whole game dynamic is based around the Joker now being in the Batman's bloodstream. And the entire game, while you're playing, the Joker is taunting you the whole time. So when you're sitting there fighting Bane and the Clayface and the Riddler and all that stuff, the Joker is talking shit to you the whole game. And it is just creepy as hell. It's an amazing idea of how they've done it. And, yeah, it's worth it. I mean, my days of being able to sit down and play games like that are long over. I don't have the reflexes. I don't have the time. I mean, yes, I do have a life, so I can't get good at video games the way I used to. But the way they took the Joker in those games is absolutely incredible. Fantastic idea. Which proves there are still original ideas out there. You just got to try. You know,
and the one I think I brought it up last week, or one of us did, when you mentioned Joker, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, good one. And when you said that, and I was purposely laying off of it because I know I feel like I'm the one who talked about it last week, but the one with Joaquin Phoenix, it was dark. God, that was a great movie. That dude, I mean, he just killed it. And now I remember talking about it because it was even to the point where you see it from his, you know, obviously he's mentally ill, but you see it from his perspective, and it's just wild, man. The trip it takes you on is just, it's intense, and he did an amazing job with that character. It's probably my favorite Joker that I've seen.
Oh, easy. What made it good was that the writing, and again, here I go about the writing again, the writing played on this whole sympathetic bad guy, the misunderstood bad guy thing. So it was leading you the whole time where you were actually feeling like, damn, you know, it's kind of messed up. Batman gives Joker over time. The guy's been through all this shit. And then you find out it's all stuff he was making up in his head. And you're like, damn. Right. And then you find out that he's actually a bad person. There's no misunderstood. There's no sympathetic emotions toward this guy. He was a bad person. And, God, yeah, that movie crushed it. Got to be one of the best movies in the
life. But you also see how he was invoked, you know, to do that. He was kind of aggravated by it. As I recall, the people that he worked with, didn't they basically set him up with that gun or something like that? I remember getting busted, and they basically gave it to him with the intent of him getting busted, which is kind of what one of the things that set him off. But his problem was, you know, he felt like people were, and I'm kind of going off memory here. I've only seen it one and a half times. But I feel like he always had, like, he was a kind of a sensitive kid, especially when you think of his mom and how whacked out she was raising him. So he was raising these ideas and a false thought of who his dad was and stuff, you know. But he felt like these people were advocating for him, and then he found out that they either didn't want anything to do with him or they were just going to shit on him. And I think his neighbor, who, like you said, he ended up being a bad person, but I was thinking that he kind of missed – It almost makes you feel like he basically misunderstood that and felt like she was a little bit more into him than what was really going on. And then obviously, I'm not even sure if it shows you, but it kind of set him off when he wasn't getting the attention that he, you know, that he thought he should. And of course, you don't know that. I think it kind of keeps you from that till the end or so. But man,
then
it was just
colors
going on.
Coming through. Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And I'm gonna pull one of those moments like you where it's like, I know, call me sick because I was kind of cheering it on, or maybe I was enjoying the scene a little too much because it was probably one of the darkest scenes of the movie. But when he goes on that talk show, you know, to finally kind of get his piece on that, that was like out of this world. It was so god awful, but I was just sitting there like, oh my god! I almost had like a grin on my face. It was just because you knew it was coming, and obviously it's just a movie, but I don't know. It was kind of wild to watch that whole scene unfold. But yeah, amazing movie.
And the way he was able to just walk out of that studio and then go into the city and create all that havoc, it was like, wow. You know, it's like, damn, that is hardcore. Now, Todd shot one on the group text I just saw. He had a good call on that. It was Rutger Hauer when he was in The Hitcher. Now, I'm not talking about the latest one with Sean Bean in it. I'm talking the original, the C. Thomas Howell one. I went to go see that at the movie theater. I want to say I was 16 when that came out. And, you know, that's something I miss about me. Is that, and granted, it's another thing that happens when you get old and you're working and you're tired all the time. I used to, every time a movie came out, I would be at the theater. And, I mean, I didn't care what it was. You know, I'd watch, you know, St. Elmo's Fire, you know, Beverly Hills Cop, Terminator. It didn't matter. I was always at the movie theater watching a damn movie in the 80s. But, nevertheless, when I saw Hitcher, That was another one of those ones that, like the Terminator, you never really saw anything like that before, where C. Thomas Howell was just, like, hopeless. I mean, you honestly thought, there's no way in hell this kid's going to make it. And, you know, he gets to the police station, and you're like, okay, well, he's with the cops now. He should be all right. C. Thomas Howell just went, I mean, it was just a couple seconds. Not only was he now not with the protection of the cops, but Rutger Hauer made it look like he was the one to kill the cops. So, and then, of course, he was the bad guy in Blade Runner, which has always been an underrated movie to me. The reason why Blade Runner didn't get the attention is because it was right behind Star Wars. And everybody had a certain perception in their mind what a sci-fi movie was. And it was more of a dystopian type of sci-fi than it was a space sci-fi. And I don't think it got the credit it deserved. But Harrison Ford, Rutger Hauer, Sean Young, all of them were on all cylinders on that flick. And but it's another one of those cult ones, man, where you either loved it or you didn't love it. But, yeah, Blade Runner was excellent. Always liked that flick. But, yeah, good call from Todd, man. Missing his presence this evening, man. Sure, the job's got him tied up and everything. And needs to get some extra shut-eye, which there's nothing wrong with that. Sure, we'll hear back from him next week. But, yeah, that's good. Rutger Hauer was another guy that was in the 80s. He was playing bad guy in everything. I mean, you name it. He was that guy. Him and David Warner. Okay, so you remember the Titanic? Okay. So there was the husband, Kate Winslet's husband. Here I go with the name again. It's leaving me. He was in Tombstone. Oh, God. Anyhow, her husband, which cracked me up, another good bad guy run on him, was that when the ship was sinking, and he grabbed the little girl and said, "I'm all she's got," and they let him on the boat. I'm like, damn, that's genius, man. I need to pull that shit. Billy Zane. Billy Zane's his name. God damn it, I knew I'd get it back. Billy Zane. But the guy who played Billy Zane's bodyguard type guy, the old British guy, had the hair parted on the side. He was an actor named David Warner. And in the 80s, he was, if there was a bad guy and it wasn't Rutger Hauer, it was David Warner. And he played Jack the Ripper in a Malcolm McDowell flick called Time After Time. And it came out in the 80s. But what happened is that H.G. Wells, Malcolm McDowell played H.G. Wells and built the time machine. Okay? And David Warner, who played Jack the Ripper, stole the time machine and had gone back or gone ahead to modern day time, which then was the 80s, of course. So HG had to get another time machine and stop Jack the Ripper in modern day times. Excellent flick. Time After Time. Mary Steenburgen was in it. Malcolm McDowell had the lead. David Warner. God, I want to say that was 81, 82 when that came out. But it was great because it's funny because what happened is that H.G. Wells comes into modern day times and he's walking around dressed like Sherlock Holmes and everybody's looking at him like, the hell's wrong with this guy? You know, and he goes to pay for something and all he's got is, you know, old British coins and everything. But, yeah, David Warner was a nightmare in that movie, too, man. He was just, who else? God damn it. I'm trying to think of some other movies he was in. But in the 80s, he was one of those guys. If you needed a bad guy, call up David Warner. He was the guy. And there was another one I just had right on the top of my head, and it's totally left me now. That's been the theme of the night's show. My memory ain't shit.
Well, as you try to remember who it is you're talking about, I'm going to throw in a little funny cartoon bad guy. And I have a feeling we've talked about this particular Looney Tunes, I think it is Looney Tunes cartoon in the past, but the one with, good Lord, what's the big-ass chicken? Or was it him? No, it wasn't him. Dang it, it might have been. I'm thinking of the cartoon where they basically had the God, here I am talking about how funny and classic it is, and I can't even remember the damn characters. Wasn't it the dog keeping a fox away? Or I was thinking, for some reason I was thinking chicken, but that can't be right. But they basically both are like friends and like, hey, Frank, hey, you know, whatever, and they punch into work. And then,
yeah,
like, the whole
dog.
Day is huh? Is it the
sheep, it's
the sheep
dog and the wolf. Yeah.
Okay.
Sheep dog and the wolf, and they're punching in.
Yeah.
And the wolf tries to get the sheep. Yeah.
And then at the end, it shows them clocking out, and they're like, all right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Man, have a good
that.
Day, man. All right, talk to you in a bit. Tell the family I said hi. You know, cartoon bad
like
guys, it's sometimes I wonder, outside of my dad's influence, I used to be a big Tom and Jerry guy when I was a kid. And I remember a lot of times watching Tom and Jerry and thinking, you know what? Tom's not the bad guy. Jerry.
No, he wasn't. Jerry was a shit.
Yeah,
oh,
and
yeah.
It's almost the Karate Kid effect. You know, where everybody cheered for Ralph Macchio, but Ralph Macchio was actually the dick in the movie. But, yeah, I mean, Tom and Jerry, for God's sake, there you go, Todd with the save, Ralph and Sam. That was the wolf and the dog, Ralph and Sam. Appreciate the save from above there, Todd. But Now, here I go again with the memory. God damn, what is going on tonight, man? I've totally lost train of thought. Oh, talk about Tom and Jerry. If you watch Tom and Jerry cartoons now, you can't help but be a Tom. Yeah, and you're going, damn, you know, Jerry's an instigating little shit. He needs to be. You know, it ain't right that Tom's losing. Tom's just doing his job. He's a cat. Jerry is a pest. So why are we cheering for the pest? Damn it. The only time Jerry was a good guy is when Uncle Pecos showed up. All right, nephew. Whoa.
Is he the one that I was arguing for?
He did, right. I can't play a guitar without a guitar string. Swing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then at the end, he reaches to the TV. He's on the television show playing, and he plucks or he breaks the string, and he reaches to the TV and grabs another whistle from Tom.
Yeah. Ah. Oh, God, Uncle Pecos. He's another one on my list that if you're having a bad day, and now that you have a phone and all this amazing stuff on your phone, you really don't have an excuse. Just excuse yourself to the men's room. YouTube Uncle Pecos in the search. Pull that up and watch about 2 minutes of Uncle Pecos, and your day gets better. Can't help it. That is good shit. Yeah, there was a lot of cartoon bad guys that just, you know, Snidely Whiplash from Deadly to Do-Right was always good. And then, of course, you know, you've got the quintessential ones in Looney Tunes where you had Marvin the Martian, Yosemite Sam. I mean, Yosemite Sam stuff is... I mean, you can't help but laugh at that stuff. You know,
oh,
Bugs Bunny's doing nothing but antagonizing the hell out of him the whole time, you know? Funnier than shit. And you'll have the same get pissed off.
Perhaps Bugs Bunny is supposed to be the bad guy, you know? But now there is one where it doesn't matter. I'm always going to cheer for Bugs Bunny. He was, you know, that was a no-brainer for me.
Well, we were talking about SpongeBob. Me and my son was talking about SpongeBob the other night, that Squidward, you know, 20 years ago when you were watching, you're like, God, Squidward's such a downer, man. What's his problem? You watch it now, and you're like, you know what? Squidward's got a lot of good points. Yeah, you know, he wants to be left alone. He wants to go to work. He wants to just deal with his misery his way. He wants to play his clarinet, you know. And enjoy his evening in his Easter Island head. But he's always got SpongeBob and Patrick screwing up his day somehow, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, Squidward, he kills me. And I tell you, there's probably not a day go by where I don't hit a Squidward at least one time. You know, somebody asks you a stupid question and you hit the no. Can't help it. Well, gentlemen, I'm looking at the clock, and here we are 7 minutes away from extra innings already, so I reckon it'd be best to go ahead and pass it around, since I know we all got to be up and at it in the morning. And I apologize for these damn toads. I don't know. Have y'all heard this?
Negative.
You can't hear all the toads or anything?
No.
Well, that's good. These things are making, every time it rains, there must be 7 or 8 million toads in my backyard, because they make so much damn racket whenever it rains. A quick little side story before I pass it around. Funny little story. I think I was on the phone with Todd, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken. But it was raining, or it had rained, and Dale was wearing flip-flops. Dale wears flip-flops everywhere she goes, and I hate flip-flops. I mean, they're just, they're shower shoes, They're not standard footwear. You just wear those when you're in public showers so you don't get shit on your feet. Okay? Nevertheless, she wears flip-flops. They're where she goes, right? You can't run in them. You can't jump in them. You can't walk in them. You can't pick up your feet in them. I hate them. Nevertheless, it had rained, and I'm sitting there on the porch, and in the street light, I could see, I mean, there had to have been a dozen, 15, 20 damn toads in my front yard just jumping all around. I mean, all you can do is see these little black shadows just tweet, 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 just jumping all over the place. Well, she walked out to her car, and I probably could have done the good husband thing and said, hey, what do you need out of your car? I'll get it. There's 1,000 toads out there. But no, I was in the mood, so I sat there and let her walk all the way to her car. So she started walking back, and I was just waiting. I was like, yeah, it's just a matter of seconds before one of these damn toads jumps on her leg, and I get a good rise out of her screaming, right? I'll be damned if she didn't walk. You remember when C-3PO and R2 were walking across the corridor at the beginning of Star Wars, and, you know, the stormtroopers were shooting back and forth, and all the laser beams were going around them?
Yeah.
That's exactly what she did. Those toads were jumping all over the place. Not near damn one of them jumped on her leg. I was like, I will be damned. If that was me, those things would have been all over my ass, you know? But, yeah, the toads are louder than hell tonight. I should have mentioned something.
I can hear him a little bit in the background. It doesn't. It's not overpowering the mic or anything, but I can kind of hear him now.
Well, good. I'm glad it's not too heavy because I was didn't even think about it until just now. I'm like, damn, these things are louder than hell. And I'm like, yeah, asshole, you're doing a damn live show. Chances are they're hearing it too, you know. So much for my production career. Nevertheless, we're going to go ahead and pass it around for our final thoughts and plugs and all that nifty stuff. So as usual, I'm going to start off with Stro because that's the guy that's got the full calendar. Stro, hit me up. What you got going on, man?
Tomorrow night, WCW Retro returns at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at VOCNation.com, and we'll be discussing the career of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. So if you got a cool Ricky Steamboat story, feel free to call in. Should be a good time. And then Friday night, the Stro Zone, my horror sci-fi show, on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. Friday night's feature at midnight Eastern Standard Time will be The Forbidden Planet. I'm back in a day, so please tune in.
Ah, very good. Outstanding. You got any type of appearances or anything like that going down, upcoming?
Next weekend, next Saturday night, I'll be at the Ogden YMCA near Wilmington, North Carolina, for a UPWA pro wrestling show. I'll be there to induct my late wrestling brother, Moses Manson, into their Hall of Fame. That's next Saturday night. So for more information, go to the THBUPWA.com.
Ah, very good. Cool. Outstanding. Remaining busy at all times. Totally understand. Man, it's good to have you aboard, Steve. Appreciate the input. Always good to have you here.
Yeah, thank
keep
you for having
me.
Keep
care of the bad guys. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tim, talk to me. What you got?
Well, this next week, with it being the holiday weekend, I'm actually taking another week off, quote-unquote week off. I will be driving the family to Pennsylvania to see Kim's sister and family. So we'll be hanging out there. I'm sure I'll be taking the work computer because there's a lot of stuff hitting the fan at work. But other than that, I just continue to do a lot of cool projects around the house. I'm blessed to have, you know, be at the condition where, I mean, I'm not the strongest guy in the world or anything, but I can get out there and do it because I know there's going to be a day that I'm not going to be able to get out there and do it. So, you know, I'm just blessed that I've got that capability right now and I can do a lot around the house here. So, anyway, just here we are, round to another fourth. You know, just having fun, good time to reflect upon, you know, kind of forget all the politics, shit like that. Just kind of think about the roots of the nation, you know, and have fun and be safe. So that's pretty much all that's going on here. And, yes, I did finish that treehouse work on. I posted some pictures.
Oh, very good. Yeah, man, look forward to seeing that, dude. And congratulations on that stuff, man. I've always marveled at folks that could do that kind of stuff. You know, I could build decks and that kind of jazz, but when it comes down to actual feats of engineering, that's good stuff. And what kid doesn't want a treehouse, you know?
Right. I think I've been up in there more than he has.
Imagine that, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Who'd you build that for?
That would be my new cigar veranda if I had one. I'd be climbing up there, say nobody can get to my ass up here.
Right.
And
right.
Sit there and smoke my cigars and just listen to these damn toads. But yeah, man, looking forward to the pictures of that, man. Bring it on. Be good to see them. Definitely appreciate you joining us this evening, as always. Appreciate the support. And for me, just real quick, I'm not going to go through all the cons, but we got the upcoming Jacksonville mini-con, Lion Eyes Games, New River Shopping Center, September 10th. It is a warm-up for the Jacksonville con, which is February 18th, 2023. Show up to the mini-con. To the best of my knowledge, it is a free show. You can just walk in. But you will get a $5 off coupon for admission to the Jacksonville con in February. So if for no other reason, show up to grab those coupons and everything. Save yourself a Lincoln in February. So, again, September 10th. Lion Eyes Games in New River Shopping Center. Look forward to seeing everybody out there. I know I'll be out there, and just as well as Strope, he will be out there. And we got a few others that we're working on getting out there, artists and whatnot. So it ought to be a good little pile-up, good little warm-up for the upcoming fall con season that we've got going on. So, beyond that, I just want to kind of echo what Tim was saying. First off, July 4th, I'm going to ask everybody to be careful. Enough said. If you're lighting off fireworks, be careful. Be mindful of your neighbors. If you're going to have fun, have fun responsibly. If you're out there drinking, have a blast. Just don't be out there driving. There's nothing wrong with having a good time, but just do it responsibly, not asking for much, being an adult about things. And then, of course, what I spoke on last week, in the event that you are a dog owner or possibly a cat, I don't know how cats react to this kind of stuff because I don't have cats in my house. Sure, I'll catch hell for that eventually, but your dogs, don't be afraid to get them baked, and though I say that in jest, I mean that seriously. Go buy, get the CBD stuff, consult your veterinarian, find out whether melatonin or Benadryl will work fine for your animals because every dog is different, weight, size, allergic reactions, that kind of stuff. But it's easier to take care of your dogs and put them at ease that evening than it is to stand out in your front yard and try to get everybody in the county to quit shooting off fireworks on July 4th. So, you know, be mindful. Don't spend your night on Twitter bitching about the fireworks and how your dog's shitting all over the carpet. Help yourself and get your dogs mellowed out prior to fireworks. Easy stuff. Get it done. But, you know, beyond that, like I said, be careful. And moreover, stop, and as what Tim alluded to, stop and think about what we've got here. There's a lot of good in this country. And in the event you don't believe me, I just ask you to go to another country. You know, and I'm not talking crossing the border or going to Canada or going to Mexico. Those are two good examples. But next time you and your loved one want to get on a cruise, take one to Jamaica. Take one to Haiti. Take one to Puerto Rico. Take one, and just Cozumel, Cancun. You go to any of those places, and they tell you, do not go further than X. As a matter of fact, in Cozumel, now, Cozumel used to be one of the nicest places. When you take a cruise, that was the place to go. And even now, they tell you, if you're a tourist, don't leave the beach. Stay on the beach, go to your hotel room that's on the beach, but that's all you do. Hotel, beach, hotel, beach, hotel, beach. The further into Mexico you go, the more likely you are to have bad things happen. And sucks. Yeah, I hate like hell hearing that. Because, you know, you think of people who are just like us, trying to get by, and they have a hard time walking in their mailbox for fear of something bad happening to them. So we have a lot of good stuff going on here in this country, whether you want to admit it or not. And you can piss and moan on Twitter about the small stuff. Hey, this guy doesn't like me because I wear green shirts. Well, this guy doesn't like me because I wear red shoes. You know, if that's the worst of your day, you got it pretty goddamn good compared to most of the other countries on this planet. And just stop, take a moment, and realize the sacrifice and the absolute balls that it took to put this damn country together, and respect it. Not much to ask. But with all that being said, I am just about done with this cigar. Actually, this cigar is not from Godfather Cigars. My daughter was kind enough to cigar bomb me for Father's Day. And for you out there that smoke cigars, Tatuai cigars are excellent. The only bad news about a Tatuai cigar is the price point. They're expensive cigars, but they're Nicaraguan. That's my bag. Love the Nicaraguan filler and the wrap and everything. But she cigar bombed me with a bunch of Tatuai cigars, and I'm here to tell you, these things are fantastic. And slow burning, great taste, just great cigar. So I've been enjoying this one. I still got a little bit of room on it. But, in the event you get a chance and you want a stogie for July 4th, that's my suggestion. But go to Godfather Cigars to get it in Jacksonville. Bye-bye. A little shameless plug there. So with all that being said, let's go through the janky back door at Atwell Estates and get that old British lady who's going to be salty this week about that big L they took in 1776. And with all that being said, British lady, where are you at?